Hey, boy, sit down somewhere.
All right, let's set a word of prayer and we'll jump into this. Father, y'all, we just bless you. And we glorify you and we appreciate you for just having the opportunity to allow us to be in your presence. And right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for it. And we just thank you for who you are in our lives. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. There are just a few special since we've been dealing with the lesson in in training school, the way that we have, not training school, but Sabbath worship, the way that we have, it should be causing books to come to mind and be more clearer as we read those books. And from teaching the scriptures this way, it allows us to see the truth and to teach it with confidence, and knowing that we're rightly dividing the word of truth, because you know we're allowing the scriptures to interpret themselves. And it's just so many things that can be understood from operating it this way, so you should now start to understand your books, better and better as you start to go through them and doing your personal study, Genesis and, things that's in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and so on and so forth. And when you get to those other books, then everything will become clearer and clearer as we keep in mind the concepts that we're learning. Yah is actually teaching us how to understand the scriptures, while at the same time showing us what happened to us as far as the first scattering and first gathering and second scattering and then eventually the second gathering. We're learning how to understand the scriptures and to be able to look at books and put them in their proper places and things like that. And so so it's very encouraging to see it that way. Is very liberating also, and it should give all of us a confidence when it comes down to the scripture like never before, because now we're in a position in life to interpret the scriptures, and we don't have to wonder what these things are saying in the books. We don't have to guess it. And if something seems out of place, then it is not that that it is out of place. It's just that Yah put it there because he's expecting us to already know something. And I'll give you an example of this here. I think this is how it's quoted. Well, it didn't do that. It's working. Oh, for some reason this is not working.
Keyboard?
Yeah. quoting it right. It's found in the book of Deuteronomy, but it's this something's going on with this here, so it's not allowing me to do what I need to do. Battery's bad.
I know we changed it recently, but maybe it wasn't a brand new battery.
Probably not. This is around 18. If you put a ghost on, you gonna get what you don't need. You gonna get what you ain't wanting now. I'm gonna pull them up before I start to teach it here. Okay. Now, I just like for it to be in its proper place. Okay, just use an example of this here. How everything just lines up. Now, when when we get over here in John chapter 1, we'll just start at verse 43. John 1 verse 43 says, the day following Yehoshua would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and say unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip finding Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Yehoshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, when you look at this here, it says Moses in the law. So it's referring to the first five books. Okay, the law, the Pentateuch. Commonly understood as the first five books. And then it also says the prophets did also write. And I'll pull up another Bible. And just to show you how everything links up, we kind of like taking a little lesson on how we should study the scriptures and read the scriptures and, you know, understand it and things like that. Let me get to this one here. Okay. I'm gonna put it in his order. Okay. Now, you get over here in John 1, and I'll read it again. John 1, verse 43. Okay, it says, the day following, Yehoshua would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida. The city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him of whom Moses in the law. Okay, Moses in the law being the first five books. Genesis is the law. Exodus is the law. Leviticus is the law of Moses, that is. Numbers and Deuteronomy, that's the law of Moses. So when you look at John chapter 1, verse 45, we know that we can find the answer to verse 45 or understand what Philip is saying in one of those books, in one of those laws of Moses. So that tells us now remember, now we're following the rules. Let me slow down and say it this way. What are the rules in studying the scriptures? What are the rules that Yah has taught us as far as studying the scriptures are concerned? Yeah, go ahead. You said like you were scared. You got to say it with a bold precept upon precept. Now, precept upon precept, line upon line. Correct. Here a little, there a little. That concept, the revelation is given to us according to the prophet Isaiah, as Isaiah 28:10, as he dealt, as Yah dealt with our nation in reference to our disobedience, and He pointed out that he would use another nation to that would speak another tongue and things like that in order for us to understand the obedience that he needed out of us, since we didn't understand, since we refused to accept the precepts that was given to us, command upon command, connecting to command, and I like how I said, sure a little, there a little, mean that you get. Understand this one step at a time. I'm gonna have to pull up another Bible with that on there, cause I like for us to see everything. Okay, now, so Isaiah 28. We'll look at all of them, and this the kind of lessons we're gonna be dealing with for a long time, because now we're at the stage now where there's understanding of the scriptures. We're teaching you understanding of the scriptures as well as how to see the scriptures, you know, how to see it in order to understand it. So again, Isaiah 28:10, as Delana had quoted, it says, for precepts, and we've dealt with this before, and I'm gonna always take my time and deal with this. So for a command, that's what precepts are. Command, for command must be upon command, command upon command. Line is a chord, as you see it here. Okay, a chord, line upon line, chord upon chord, chord upon chord. Here a little. When you look at here a little, it means small amount, dwindle, and there a little. So Yah is showing us. He's like, Yah never. Like I'm never gonna give you just one big understanding of a subject matter without you understanding things little by little. How can I put this? No good teacher. No good teacher will grab a student and say, "Well, you know, here's your history book. Learn everything about tomorrow." You know, they didn't teach us just using corn things. You know, here's math. Let's go straight to trigonometry. You know, we had to start with just simple things. Learn how to count to 10. You know, you learn how to, you know, your colors. And there are simple things that you learn, and then we advance as we learn those simple things. Remember the example as far as the speech is concerned. The scriptures are from that same perspective. So as you look again, when we get down to John chapter 1, verse 45, and it says, "Philip found Nathanael and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and in the prophets did write." Then the first thing should come to our mind is, this is written in at least one. The scriptures, this information is written in at least one of the books of Moses. And this is talked about at least in one of the prophets, books of the prophets. Because if I don't, then, or if we don't, then we're going to start filling in the blanks on who this is from looking at it in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, we don't know who this is. All we know at this point, let me get to the verse so you can see it. I'm pointing at it, but not. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18 says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command thee." Well, if we don't follow the precepts, we'll start adding that to anybody. You think that's me. You can think that's you. You can think that's some other prophet that's not even written in our scriptures. We can start to fill in the blank and start to add that to being anybody if we don't follow the precepts. And so what it takes is a discipline in order to be able to do that. So when we get to John chapter 1, because we retain these books, by the time we get to John chapter 1, we know exactly what's going on. We know exactly where they're talking about it. And so that's why it's not only important to be able to read the scriptures and understand the scriptures in that particular book, but we need to understand the history that's associated with that particular book so that we can put things in their proper place. So through Isaiah 28 and 10, we understand that John 1 is a precept that has to connect to another precept. And he gives us the key. Okay, it's in the law precept, the law command, and it's also in the law of the prophets. It's in the command of the prophets. So now what I have to do is say, okay, who are the prophets? In my studying that talked about someone hearing or talked about a brethren that would come and we would hear his word. Where's that found? Where could I find it? And so from doing it that way, then it takes all the guesswork out of understanding the scriptures, and we won't come up with our own doctrines and our own principles and concepts and our own laws and regulations on how have this walk with Yah. You remember, y'all, I told y'all, I said there's a lesson that I'm going to teach on in the future, and I'm going to teach it and show you according to the precepts. And when I show you according to the precepts, it's probably going to be one of the most difficult lessons you've ever heard before, because it's going to go against everything you understand. I'm going to teach it later. It's going to go against everything you understand. But then once that information is revealed, now you have a choice to make. Either we stay with the precepts, or we put things in there like, why do your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? And we'll make that a law. We'll make that a precept. We'll make that things that we go by. And you see a lot of those type of things happening throughout church history in one fashion or another. Everybody have these different customs and rules and laws that they operate in. And then, you know, every man can clearly be persuaded in their own mind. But, you know, don't allow your doctrine to hinder the lives of other people based upon your personal beliefs. And this lesson that I'm going to deal with, it's going to mess with a whole lot of people. I can't wait to teach it. I ain't going to leave no room either. What I mean by leave no room, it's going to be no room for error, because it's going to be precept upon precept, line upon line, that I'm going to teach in the near future after we finish with the lesson, the gathering. And the reason why, you know, there's such a confidence in teaching it is because this is the process by which, you know, by which I'll teach it, you know, as I do everything else, basically. Have to be taught precept upon precept, line upon line. When you do that, it leaves no room for error. And it causes a person not to now add in, I think. Well, I think it ought to be, no. Mm-mm. Precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We're going to take all them here's a little and there's a little, and we're going to come into a full understanding of some things. And so in doing that, this is the process by which it's done. So when you get over to John chapter 1 at the bottom of your screen to the left, when you get at John chapter 1 and you read verse 45, this becomes simple when we understand the precepts. Okay, I don't have to guess who this is. I can get out of the precept, Isaiah 28:10 now. I don't have to guess who this is, but by the time I get here, or by the time we get here in our studying, we should know who it is. Although it tells us who it is, but we should know where he's mentioned, why he's mentioned there. Okay? And so, again, I read verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law. Here's the law concerning it. It says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, or the brethren Israel, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. What did Christ say? I do nothing of myself. Yeah. Everything the Father giveth me, that's what I say. So when Philip findeth him, he's not guessing. He doesn't have to guess, because they understand what was said according to the law and the prophets. So when they saw that taking place, it was like, I have no doubt, we found it. We don't have to follow nothing else. We found it. We found him because the law speaketh specific things about him that he is fulfilling, and the prophets said specific things about him that he is fulfilling. There's no doubt we found it. Okay? Now, when you look at when you look at Isaiah, Isaiah is a prophet who confirms who he is. Let me get to the verse here. I think I skipped it. 7. Let me search it again. 14. Let's start verse 13. Isaiah 7, verse 13 said, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my Yah also? Therefore, Yah himself shall give you a sign. Who gives the sign? Yah himself. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, when you look at Emmanuel, it means, in a nutshell, with us is Yah. You see that? With us is Yah. Now, you'll get people, because they don't understand how Yah communicate. That's where the doctrine comes from, where they use this scripture and say that Christ is God. But when you look at the prophets and the law, the prophets said that she would give birth to a son, mm-hmm. not a God, and that son will be called. Okay, they would call his name Emmanuel. My name is called Lon. Lon means fierce lion. I'm not a lion. Okay, and so in understanding that, what Yah was doing with our nation by sending a son through a virgin, was to let our nation know and understand that He, God, was with them through the express image of the Son, Christ. So it's not that God came here through a virgin and became flesh, and he's the son. No, he said through the prophet, I'm going to give you a sign. That sign is that I'm going to cause a virgin to give birth to a son, and that son shall be called, his name shall be called Yah with us. My grandson's name is Yahshua. Yahshua means God with us. But Yahshua is not God. So every time I look at my grandson, it is a testament and a reminder to me that my God is with me. So he's the sign. In the express image, that's why Yah had me to name him Yahshua, as a sign and express image that when you look at this boy, I am declaring to everyone who understands, I'm with y'all. Emmanuel is the same thing. Emmanuel is Yah loving us enough to send his only begotten son through the Virgin Mary to declare to us that I am with you. Thus, Christ is the express image of the Father by allowing us to realize and understand that the Father is with us. So every time I see Christ, I see my Father. Every time I see Christ in the scriptures, it is supposed to remind me of my God, because that's who he is. He's the express image of who my Father God is. Thus, anytime he's mentioned, it is to remind me of who I truly worship. But because people don't understand the scripture precept upon precept, they have made Christ to be God. Therefore, all those songs are written to Christ. And he is worthy to be praised, by the way. But he has a category by which he's worthy to be praised. So every time I acknowledge him and praise him, I acknowledge him for being the blessed, obedient son to our Father that gave us access now back to the Father. I have one God only, and there is none else. And so as we start to see the scripture by which Yah intended for us to see them, and we get over into John chapter 1 now, and down to verse 45, we know without a doubt that the law has already laid out what Christ would be like. Christ is not my God, he's my brother. Did you hear that? He is Lord. He is Savior. But in his category. The law tells me that I had a brother that I was going to hear. It didn't say I had God that I was going to hear. That brother would be like the one who was leading our nation at the time. I will raise them up in the middle of the screen, Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Christ is also a prophet. When was the last time you heard them say God, Yah, was a prophet? We can't say that until we find it in the scripture. But by finding in the scripture that it says Christ is a prophet, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Christ is among his brethren. Like unto thee, Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I should command him. That's why when you get on the New Testament, that's all Christ was saying. That's why he says, I didn't come to abolish the law. So you get people that say, well, you know, the Old Testament has been done away with. Which Old Testament law are you talking about? Because when he came to fulfill the law, that means he came to walk in the letter of it, to fully preach it, to fulfill everything that Moses said as well as the prophets said. That's what he means when he said he didn't come to abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it. He came to walk the letter of it to completion. He walked the precepts. That's why you never find him doing anything outside of the precepts. And so this is how we are to understand the scripture and to look at every verse that we read from now on. You know, all of us, you know, we have, you know, Bible study and Sabbath worship and things like that. We'll have lessons that we'll deal with, but each one of you should be studying on your own time. And the best place to start is Genesis 1. Don't start in Genesis 1 and then you over in Matthew. The precepts are not up on precepts when you do that unless you start seeing the scriptures the way that we're discussing now. You know, once you start, you know, seeing some things in Deuteronomy 18, you know, once the development takes place and the understanding of the scripture takes place, you may be Deuteronomy 18 or 18. It may come to you, wait a minute, that's written somewhere. I remember, you know, because you read it or studied it before. I remember that somewhere in the book of John. Well, yeah, it's fine to go look and compare it and things like that. But I'm just saying the process by which you or we should do it. every word is connected this way. Show you another example here, if I can remember how it is. Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to exit out of one of these books. It may be Luke. Let me make sure. Luke 3. Give me a minute. One of these threes. I think I'm skipping past it. Trying to move too fast. Yeah, Luke 3. No, I'll be rolling sometime, y'all. let me see. Yeah. As you look at these books here, Matthew 1, and then you look at Luke chapter 3, you're seeing the genealogy. You're seeing the genealogy of Christ. Okay, now. I'm just trying to find where to start here. Okay. Now, as you look at Luke 23, I'm going to start at Matthew 1, since it's the first book. When you look at Matthew 1, and you start to see the books. It's the book of the generations of Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Okay? And then you start going down the list. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm just going to, you know, just kind of look at just a few of them here. Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar. Okay? And Phares begot Esrom, and Esrom begot Aram. So as you're looking at this list, once you get over to Luke chapter 3, the list changes. And you have to be able to see it. You have to be able to understand what Yah is doing, and the change is subtle. And so a person will look at Matthew 1 and they'll say, okay, why does it give the genealogy in Matthew 1 and then it gives the genealogy of Christ in Luke 3? But what is the difference? It's not the same. But what makes it not the same? It tells his family, it connects names, but there's a slight difference in it. Why is it there?
It took me a while to figure that out.
why is it there? And so that takes some time. As the other point out, it took me a while to figure that out. It does take time to figure it out. And you don't figure it out until we follow the scriptures according to the way that we're discussing now. Let me show you.
First, you'd be like, there must be something wrong.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Okay, now we're gonna type in. I'm gonna see if you remember the stuff. All I'm trying to keep from telling you here. I'm trying to see if which book gives it to me. Oh, let me try it this way. Let's see. Okay, here it is. Okay. Now, in order for this to be understood, again, we have to follow the processes by which we see the scriptures. So, we're looking at two different genealogies, but we're looking at the same family. But it describes so it's like y'all put the scriptures this way, Matthew 1 and Luke 3, in order for us to understand Christ's heritage. And so there'll be no dispute. Okay? Now, I'm trying to see how to come at this without just spilling the beans and let you see it yourself. 2 Kings. Let's just go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings 5, verse 13. It says, "And David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron. And there was yet sons and daughters born to David." So David had a lot of kids. Even the scripture doesn't mention, you know, all of them. "And these are the name of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem. Shammua, Shobal, and Nathan, and Solomon." Y'all see it here. Nathan and Solomon. Now, when you get over in the Matthew 1, it says the book of generation of Yehoshua Mashiach, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begot Esrom. And Esrom begot Aram. And Aram begot Amminadab. And Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon her son. Okay, Solomon her son that had been the wife of Uriah. So you see that? Okay, now when you look in 3. It says, Luke chapter 3, it says, "And Yehoshua himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed." Why does it say supposed?
It's like roundabout. They not for sure about that.
No, you guessing. You can't be guessing. See, I set you up for that. You can't be guessing. What's the rule?
Concept.
You allow the scriptures to interpret itself. See, you start thinking. We can't think. We got to let the scriptures interpret itself. That's okay, because this is class. This is how we laugh. So, this is how we learn. So, we laugh. Yeah. So again, and Yehoshua himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph. Let me go back. I think I said Joseph instead of Yehoshua. And Yehoshua himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthew, and was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph. Now, so as he gives these scriptures, it's saying suppose here, so it's telling it's telling whose bloodline over here?
Joseph.
Well, in Luke 3.
Oh,
yeah, you was looking a bit. Okay, yes, Mr. Okay. Okay, so let's go to let's go to Matthew 1. So who is the bloodline in Matthew 1? Who is it discussing? Matthew 1. Yeah, I mean, you was correct.
The one you was just talking about was Joseph.
Right, right.
The other
right.
one is Mary.
Let me just show you here. So when you look at this one, it names, the name changes to show how Christ is still related in this bloodline. And it starts to change right here. It says, it's naming all the sons. It said, which was the son of what's that, Malay, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Matata, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. Y'all see it here? So it names Nathan here, but over here it comes down and it names Solomon. Remember over here what it tells us? It's showing the kingly line, and then it's showing still the descendant of David. Nathan's bloodline is not the kingly line. Who is the bloodline? Don't guess. Who are the sons of David? Nathan, Solomon. Who was Solomon?
King.
He was king. So when you get over here and you see he begat Solomon, it's showing you the kingly bloodline of Matthew 1. In Matthew 1. Luke 3, it shows you the bloodline of Nathan, the son. So Joseph, as you look at Luke 3, Joseph descends from that bloodline. So it's still, and when I'm talking about Mary. That's why it says Mary. I meant Mary. Mary descends from that bloodline because when you look at Joseph here, that's why it says suppose. Let me see. Where was it? Okay, verse 23. And Yehoshua himself began to be about 30 years old, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthew, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum. And it keeps going down the list. It says, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah. And it keeps going down. And then it says, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Jonah, and it just keep going down the list. And so it says, and so as it get here, it start to name Nathan, who is the son of David. And you see it here. So as it's describing both sides of the family, it's showing you Solomon's family, the kingly side in Matthew 1, and it's showing you Nathan's side in Luke 3. And the reason why it does that is because it's showing either way Christ has a legal right to the throne of David. Because Christ says to, Yah says to David, he said, your seed will always sit on your throne. So when Christ comes back, he's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will sit on the throne of his father David. And so the best way to explain it, he's legally the son of David on both sides of the family. Through Solomon's side, as well as Nathan's side. Okay? And so, when you look at it, I'm trying to find where I'm trying to find out where Mary. I'm trying to find out which one Mary is a part of, but that shows how they're related. And so it gives the genealogy, because it starts with the father. And so it gives the genealogy through.
So I think the one in that one that you're scrolling in is Joseph, because it states it up at the top. It's saying that Heli, or whoever, is Joseph's father.
Right.
So that's what makes me say this one is.
It's Joseph. Luke 3 is Joseph's bloodline, and Matthew 1 is Mary. That's what I was looking for. Mary, it's Mary's bloodline, and so it connects both of them and that's why I was saying I kind of remember which one Mary is a part of, and so that's what it is. That's why it says suppose the son of Joseph, and Yehoshua began to be about 30 years old, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, because he wasn't the son of Joseph literally.
So if you want to be technical and say, well, since Joseph ain't his father, blah, blah, blah.
He can't be.
Mary is of that same genealogy,
but on the kingly side. Yeah. And so that's why these two books, thank you for helping me with that. Mm-hmm. That's why these two books are important when you look at Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 3, because it shows the legality even of Christ being the king that would sit on David's throne, bloodline king.
I mean, it's even more so that Mary's bloodline is the king's bloodline, right? So
exactly.
Joseph didn't have any say in that part, right? So technically, from Mary, mm-hmm. even though we know, obviously, Yah being the father,
mm-hmm.
but from that context, she descends from that kingly bloodline.
Yes. And so that's why these books are there. And you make the connection through 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5 shows both sons, and it shows both sons in Luke 3 and Matthew 1. It's just that Luke 3 is Nathan's side, and Matthew 1 is Solomon's side. That's why you see Nathan mentioned here. Then it says who was the son of David. And when you get over here, you see, if I didn't pass it, you see Solomon here, who was the son of David. And so that's why these two books are put there showing both sides of the family. Show Nathan's side, and it shows Solomon's side, both being the sons of David.
You have to study to see that, too. Because if you just reading over names, you won't see that.
Yeah.
It took me, it's like, wait a minute now. It's like David did Solomon, then David did.
Yeah. And that's why it's there. And we have to, and we just have to start seeing the scriptures that way to understand it. So when a person get there, they be like, okay, why does Matthew 1 says this, and why does Luke 3 says this? You got to really follow that. Because it's just... one verse in each book that changes, per se, to let you know that there's really something going. Oh, this is revealing Nathan's relationship, nation relationship with David. Oh, Matthew 1 is revealing Solomon's relationship with David. Both of them are sons. I don't know this unless I'm in 2 Kings 5. Both of them are sons, and so it ties it together. It shows the lineage. That's how we have to see the scriptures. Do y'all see it?
Yeah, it's not always easy, too.
It's not easy.
Across that stuff, you be looking like, the Bible must be wrong. It's got two different things. One place say this and one place say that. And if you don't, I guess if you don't have wisdom, you'll leave with that misinterpretation.
Yep.
And not let y'all deal with you enough to realize, oh, wait a minute, this is one side, yes, and this is the other side.
Yes. That is the reason. That is the reason why. Why people say that the Bible has been tampered with, because by the leading of the Spirit of they are not able to look at the scriptures by the leading of the Spirit of Yah to connect this way. So they say, see, it's errors in there. Over here it says this. Over here it says that. No errors. You just got to understand the precepts. So when I run into people, they say it's been tampered with. I said, you're not qualified to make that statement. When you say it's been tampered with, what you just told me is that you are a novice when it comes down to the scriptures. Because anyone who truly understands the scriptures by the leading of the Spirit and follow this law to understand the scripture will know without a doubt the scriptures have not been tampered with. From Genesis to Revelation, it hadn't been tampered with. Because all of it ties together just like this from Genesis to Revelation. So that's always my response. I never debate with somebody who said that the Bible has been tampered with. It's written by man. It's been tampered with. I said, you're not qualified to make that statement. You hadn't studied the scriptures enough to make that statement, because if you did, you wouldn't make that statement. Okay. And so I just wanted to show you those examples because at this stage we're really focusing on how to study our Bibles, how to see the scriptures, and remember if you're not understanding something, don't start trying to figure things out. That just means we haven't spent enough time in the scriptures, and we constantly have to go over this information. I've been doing this for 30-something years, and it's, you still can kind of get a little bit, mixed up and things like that. So you have to make sure that you look at the scriptures. And that's what I was trying to do was, okay, let me try to remember which side Mary is on. Okay, she's on the kingly side. And so the scriptures interpret itself by allowing us to say that. That's why it does that in Luke 3, say that, suppose it, and stuff like that. Little subtle words like that. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to those words, because that's when I understood it. When I got there and I said, okay, why is it saying suppose it? Oh, that's right. Joseph is not the actual father of Christ, but he's still in the family of David, though. And the Bible just keep getting neater and neater, and it starts to get clearer and clearer, and we'll understand it. By the time we get to Revelation, we'll understand it to a certain degree, little. Go back to Genesis 1 and start getting some more understanding. Like I said, this is my third time around, and I'm still coming into understandings. Okay? So use all the scriptures that way, and I just wanted to show you those examples. Just to show you how easy it can be if we follow the rules, but it's still not easy. But it's a lot easier than sitting around trying to figure it out and adding to it and guessing and stuff like that. It takes time. All right, we got it. I'm going to stop there. Any questions, comments? We good? Okay. Father, y'all, we just bless your name, and we thank you for just another lesson of getting into precepts and understanding how you have laid them out. And, and we just thank you for leading and guiding us in all truth. And we just glorify you for it. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.